thank you for tuning in to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church's podcast. We join our weekly broadcast of our Sunday morning message.
Stand with me if you will. We'll go ahead and jump right into the scripture. Yes, we are continuing our adversity study. If you're facing any form of adversity. I know I had some folks come to me this past week and said they don't really appreciate me talking about it. They don't enjoy that. It's not a good subject. I don't like it either. I don't like preaching it. I don't like talking about it. I don't like it when we have obstacles, when we have troubles in our lives. But I think it's so fitting and so timely for us to understand what's going on in the midst of all these things. So we're going to look at Psalm number 42. Verse number 1 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" You ever say that? That's where we're at a lot of times. Verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites and the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God?" So not only are we asking, where is God, our enemies around us saying, where is your God? Verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the heathen, who is the health of my countenance and my God." I got to get a good net on you there. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Even if we pronounce half the words, God, your word's true. Your word's so lovely. And God, thank you for the truth that you share with us today. We pray, God, that as we look into this chapter, as we look into this psalm that was written in the heart of David and what provoked him to pen such words, that God, we'll truly understand the adversity that we face in everyday life, that we'll be able to identify, God, what's going on in the midst of the world that we're in, what's going on in our hearts, in our lives, and why are we where we're at. God, forgive me of my sins and bring clarity, bring peace, bring understanding, bring wisdom to us today, God, so that we may understand you a little bit more and may understand your word. Have your way, Jesus. Let your spirit roam free among us today and speak to us, God. Give us that meat from your table that we so much need. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Don't even look at the clock. We don't have anywhere else to go today. Amen. I've got the doors locked. You're not getting out. Adversity. Yeah, this is not fun for me either. I mean, when we think about, well, here's the thing about it. We all face adversity. We all face problems in life. We a lot of times just don't like to deal with it. So today we're going to look at a little bit different subject matter. First thing I want to address is justice. Is there justice? Is there justice? And I guess the first thing we got to think about is God just? Do you think God's just? Yeah, yes. I believe God is just. I know God is just. Over here in Psalm number 25, he says in verse number 8, "Good and upright." You know what those words mean? What upright means? It means just. So basically we can say good and just is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep in covenant, keep his covenant and his testimonies. So when we say, is there justice? Is God just? Yes, God is just. But at the same time, I want to recall there are some people, when we read God's word, that I don't think really justice prevailed. There's a man, Micah, that we know was a prophet of God, and when King Ahab was desiring to go up and gather some land, he invited the king of Judah to come up and have a council with him. They wanted to talk about this. He wanted to get his men. He wanted his soldiers to come and help him in this battle. So when they got together, they had a big meal. They all sat in there in his palace and were talking. And he said, the king of Judah said, is there anybody here of God that we can seek counsel of? Because all of his guys gathered around are saying, go, capture the land. God's with you. All these kind of things. You know, they're literally just yes men. You know what a yes man is, right? It means whatever the boss says, yes, yes, yes. We agree with whatever the boss says, right or wrong. So they were yes men. And so he said, well, Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, he said, I have one guy here, this Micah guy, but he never prophesied anything good concerning me. So Micah came up and brought this prophecy, and he said, if you come back from that battle alive, then God Jehovah has not spoken to me. So in other words, he's saying, if you go into battle, you're going to die. You will not make it out because God is not in this. God is not for this. So what did they do? They turned and they sent him back into prison. We don't know anything else that happened to this Micah. I mean, there's speculation. Some folks have said, well, maybe this happened. Maybe after the king died, he was freed. But we don't know for sure exactly what happened to him. As far as we know, Micah ended up rotting in jail, in prison, the rest of his life. So Micah was what? He was a godly man. He was a man that loved God, a man that honored God. But yet, was there justice in his life? We look from a worldly standpoint, we're going to say, no, that it was not just. What is this guy we talk about with the youth? It's not fair. So what is justice? It basically means fairness as well. It means whatever we're talking about, whatever, if it's God, if we're talking about society, is there justice in society? Is justice, or is in society, is there fairness? Or is everybody really treated equally? And I'm going to say, no, not everybody is treated equally. And even when we talk about people like this, we talk about Micah, we talk about the man that had the vineyard, Naboth's vineyard, and he loved this vineyard. It was something that was handed down from generation to generation. And so the king also, Ahab, desired this vineyard because it was close proximity to the palace. He said, I want that. And so we know the whole story of Jezebel. We know how she ended up bringing false accusation against him. He was taken out and he was literally murdered. And this property, this vineyard, ended up becoming property of King Ahab. So I'm thinking, is there justice in that? Absolutely not. There's no justice in that. So when we ask the question, is there justice, we got to consider what form of justice we're talking about. Is God just? Yes. He most definitely is just. The Bible declares and it screams and it proclaims that God is just. He is a just God. And God is all about justice. And God is just in how he deals with his people. The problem that comes in understanding justice or fairness is, even though that God is just in regard to the people that follow him, this world is not just. We are Christians serving a just God in a world filled with injustice. How do you make sense of that? I don't know how you make sense of that. But I don't want you to be confused in thinking about adversity and thinking about the problems that we're going to face in life, that just because you're a Christian and you serve a just God, that everything from here on out is going to be fair to you. It's not that way. As long as we are living in this fleshly body, we are living in a world of injustice. We're living in a world that we are hated and despised, and we are never going to fully experience true justice. In the end, is God going to have his way in his day? Absolutely. No doubt that God's justice is going to reign, and God is just in how he deals with his children, with his people. But God is not going to force somebody else to do what they need to do to be just to you. Injustice may come your way. It may come from somebody that's just mean and cruel. You may have been offended by somebody. You may have been hurt by somebody or a group of people. There may have been things done in your life and in your past that you go back and you think about those things. You say, where is the justice in it? There is no justice. It doesn't mean God is not just. It just means that we live in a world of people where there's plenty of injustice, and we need to be concerned about that. So don't be led astray in that fact. Why are we talking about injustice? Well, the reason I want to talk about injustice is understand the kind of world we're living in. Because here's what I want to talk about next in regard to that. When we know how God is, we know how truthful God is and just God is, then why are we not seeing more of those good things and godly things happen? Why is it that it seems as though God is not working? Have you ever been in a moment in your life where you just feel like, God, I just don't think God is working right now? You've been there, haven't you? Maybe you're there this morning where you're just saying, you know something? Man, this message is spot on, preacher, because I just don't feel God is working right now in my situation. When we think back through God's word, has God spoken in the past? Yes, God has spoken in the past, hasn't he? Isn't it good that we can go back and read these stories, these beautiful stories? Well, like when Chris did the kid's story, he talked about Nehemiah. Did God not put it on the heart of Nehemiah to go back and rebuild that wall? Did he not give him that blueprint, give him that vision, and God spoke to him in what he wanted to do? When Moses was there minding his own business, God spoke to him. He said, Moses, I want you to go back and be my deliverer to my people that are in bondage. So God spoke to Moses, and God spoke to Joshua, and leading his people into that promised land. All through the Bible, we see where God has just spoken to people. Then we get into the New Testament, and we see that Jesus himself spoke to thousands of people. We've got his words here that we can read, we can study, we can understand what it is that he wanted to say to folks. It's so beautiful. I can't wait to hear words from the lips of Jesus. Whenever I get to heaven, that's going to be precious for me to hear my Savior say anything. He can say, Jack and Jill went up the hill. I don't care what he says. It's going to be beautiful when I hear my Savior speak, because I'm going to be able to hear something from his lips. And we know that because he's not here physically today, that he is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us right now. That's what he's doing until he comes back to get us. Yet those of us that believe in him have the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God speaks to us. We hear from God. You hear from God every day. We hear as the Spirit speaks to us. But yet we think about so many people, and talking about the injustice again, we think about so many people that have faced so many challenging things in their life, and God has seemed to them to remain silent. I don't want anybody saying anything for the next 5 seconds. That's just weird, ain't it? Silence is not something we enjoy, especially when it's silence from our Savior. You think about people like the Old Testament Joseph, not Mary's Joseph, the other one. The one that's basically his life is a foreshadow of Christ. When he got that vision, early in his life, when he was a young man, maybe 17, 18 years old, when he got that vision of how everybody else is going to bow down to him and how he was going to be the one to rise up and save and bless his people and bless his brethren. When he got that vision, and after that, we see all the time that transpired between then and when he was actually in prison, God started revealing these visions to him and interpreting these dreams that these people were having. And all from that moment of the vision until the moment when he was in prison and he was able to step up and be that deliverer that God wanted him to be. I think of all that time that he was in that position, I'm sure that God spoke to him. But we don't have a whole lot of documented evidence where God spoke and said direct and specific things for him to do. So I'm thinking all this time from the vision when God gave him until the moment he was in prison and God started revealing these dreams and interpreting them, man, he could have called those his silent years that God just didn't seem to speak. And I think, how in the world could somebody go that long and be so focused and trusting and loving and following God when God is so silent and God's not saying anything? How in the world does somebody do that? We can't stand silence. We definitely cannot stand silence when it comes to our relationship with God. But the Bible is filled with instances where God has been silent. There's a lady that had an issue of blood. And she was literally bleeding to death and she was going to die. How long had she had that issue? 12 years. For 12 years, she'd been slowly dying. Do you think she's prayed during those 12 years? I would imagine that she has. The Bible tells us that she went to every doctor, every specialist. She tried everything she could try. And nothing helped. And here's the kicker. Man, when we're in the midst of a time we think is silence with God, she didn't get any better. She gradually got worse. With every new treatment, with every new therapy, with whatever medicine she tried, she continually got worse. So it's like, God, it seems the more I pray, the worse things get. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
And it's the silence of God that kills us. It's the silence of God that tears us up. So that's what I want to talk about for the next few moments, is I want to talk about that silence. Have you ever thought about silence being deafening? It can be when it's the silence of God, when it seems as though we're pouring out our heart to him, but yet we're not hearing him come back. We're not hearing him say anything. The unjust judge story, we know about that in the Gospels, where this lady had an issue. She continually came to the judge and brought it to him day after day. She was there in the courtroom every day bringing her petition, laying it before the judge. And he said eventually, even though he was unjust and he didn't care about the people that much, because she continually came to him and just aggravating him all the time, he finally did something about it just because she kept pestering him. And then Jesus said, consider this unjust judge and how much more God loves you than this unjust judge. And he said, how speedy or quick will God respond to you? And I'm thinking, wait a minute now. Whoa, Jesus. You said how much quicker you will respond to us because you love us and care for us. I'm not seeing you being very quick in some of my situations.
Amen.
Now listen, let's just be real with God. Talk honestly to him. If you're aggravated because God's not showing up when you think he ought to show up, tell him that. He's going to bring back to you the hammer and tell you why, but talk to him and be honest with God.
Amen.
Because there's no way we're going to grow in our relationship to him if we're not completely honest and open in where we're at and what's going on in our life. If you despise the silence of God, tell him you hate the silence. All right, we're going to preach on a little bit. The question, the million-dollar question is this: why is God silent? I'd like to tell you the answer to every situation you're in where God seems silent, but I think circumstances a lot of times dictate why God is silent in situations. But I do have a few that I want to run over with you. I know some of you are keeping notes and jotting things down. Jot some of these down. So these are at least going to be some things to consider in regard to the silence of God. Because when is God usually silent? In the midst of adversity. Why does God got to be quiet when I'm in trouble? Why has God sometimes got us just, he doesn't say anything. He's just not saying a word, and it just kills us. Here's one reason why God may be silent, especially in the midst of adversity, because it's not time to speak. I hate that. There's a little boy, I'm making this up, but it's a good story anyway. There's a little boy that family had a little boy. I gave birth to a little boy, and he was cute as a button and everything. But they noticed he didn't cry a whole lot. He didn't really cry at all, best they could figure. Got up to when he should have been starting, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't saying nothing. He just kind of silent. He got to be about 10 years old. Never said a word. Sitting in there for breakfast one morning, mom, dad sitting around the table with him, you know. All of a sudden, while he's eating, he said, "Toast is burnt." Praise the Lord. Our son has spoken. Son, tell us what happened. He said, "How come you've waited this? How come just now you're speaking?" He said, "Things were pretty good till now." You get it? The toast was burnt, so it was time for me to say something about it. Everything till then was pretty good. You see, God works that way a little bit, I think. There are times when God is silent because it is not time yet for him to speak. Things are going the way he intends for them to go, and he's not going to say anything until it's time for him to say something. When they came to that marriage in Cana of Galilee, and they were there, and you know, Jesus, all those disciples were invited, and Mary was there, and they ran out of wine, and she said, "Well, go over and tell Jesus they're out of wine, like he's a bartender or something. I don't know why. She, you know, go see him." And he spoke to her, and here's what he said: "Hey, I got nothing to do with that. It's not time for me. My hour is not yet come. It's not time for me to be done." So I'm thinking, well, I took that. I took that to heart. I believe Mary from that moment took that to heart, that Jesus will do what he needs to do when he needs to do it. But until then, he may be silent in your life, or it may appear that he is silent in your life. So there you go. It may be it's just not time. I didn't say you're going to like the reasons I gave you why God is silent. I'm just saying I got a few that you may want to jot down and mull over in your consideration of the silence of God. So maybe it's not time. Another reason, the second reason might be it could possibly be a test for you. Oh man, I hate tests. It could be that God's putting you through a test. It could be that you're in a time of trial in your life that God is wanting to see what you're going to do. And listen, God's not some mean person up here stepping back and just laughing at us and watching and waiting for us to fail. No, God is our biggest cheerleader, and God is rooting for us and cheering for us and wants us to succeed. But there are times in our life that if we're going to grow in faith, our faith must be tested, right? So we're going to be challenged. We're going to go through times of testing that God's going to put us through. Again, we know these are different than temptations. If God puts something on us, it's a test. It's a challenge of our faith. So God will put us through those to see if our faith is going to withstand and our faith will grow. And if we survive that test, then guess what? We're closer to God than we were before. So why is God silent at times? Sometimes he's silent because it's a time of testing for us. Again, I hate that. I hate that God will put me through the test. But again, it's because he loves me. God's not going to answer too early. God's going to always answer at the right time when he needs to. And God's not going to just sit back and make everything rosy for us, because there would be zero growth if we're not being tested and challenged along the way. A third reason why God may be silent in the midst of adversity is because perhaps he's spoken and we didn't like it. Oh, gosh, I told you you're not going to like these. Do you ever just sit around, "Well, God's silent. Well, he told me something to do, but I didn't like it. I'm going to wait on something else. I'm going to wait him out and see if God will change his mind and give me something different. I'm going to just sit back because I'm so stubborn that I'm going to sit back and just demand that God says something else because I don't like what he said the first time." Do you think by continually going to God and asking him to change what he's just said that God is going to honor that and change what he's told you to do? I'm going to say a big no on that one. Maybe God's silent in your life at times because he's already told you what he wants you to do. But you don't like what God said that he wants you to do. You don't like the cost in your life to be able to be closer to him. We talked about Ahab and the king of Judah, didn't we? We talked about that alliance and Micah being in prison. When he brought him, what's the words that he said about Micah? He said, I don't like him. The king of Judah said, why don't you like him? Because every time he prophesies concerning me, it's always bad. So I don't like him. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to my pep rally squad over here cheer me, tell me to go on, and I got it. And it's all, it's victory, baby. I don't want to listen to him because I don't like what he said. How many times has God spoken to you in your heart and your life, and you just don't like what God said? And because of that, he has remained silent in your life. It happens, doesn't it? And I don't like this one either. Listen, I don't like any of them. The next one, the reason God might be silent because silence could be hindered because of our sin. Sin that's in our life can hinder us being able to hear God, what God's got to say. The silence is there because something needs to be done to put us in a position that we can actually hear God. So God will intentionally be silent at times in our life when sin is involved. Now, to me, that is justice because he's a perfect God, right? We got to come to him as clean as we possibly can. You understand what I'm saying. We don't clean ourselves up, but we must confess our faults and our sins. We must get that cleansing and that purification so that we can have that communication with God that is so much needed in our walk and our life with him. So there's a few things that may cause God's silence. There are a ton more, and I think it depends on the circumstances, but those are some things I think that we could at least write down and consider when we're in moments that God is silent. The next question to come up is, in regard to silence, is where is God in our silence? Where is God? What do you think God's doing when you're silent? What? Is he on vacation? Is God busy? Is God so busy that he is silent because he don't have time for me? You know, when Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and he told those other guys, y'all go ahead and pray to your God first. I'm going to give you first go at it. If he responds, then we're going to know he's God. But if he don't, you know, then I'm going to have a shot to call on Jehovah. And, you know, he was literally just poking them, and he said, well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God's on a vacation. Maybe you need to talk a little bit louder. Maybe he's old and hard of hearing, and you need to scream. So he's saying, if he's going to speak to you, maybe you need to put a little more oomph in it, a little more energy in it. Maybe you need to beat yourself a little bit more with the whip and get him to respond. Now, this is never a reason why our God is silent. Is because he's too busy, or because he's on vacation, or because he's so old that he's hard of hearing. That will never be an issue with our God as to why he is silent. Perhaps he is silent for some of these reasons that we've said. And where is he in the silence? One place he most definitely is waiting on us to move. He's waiting on us to move. Sometimes God is waiting for you to just take that step. God is, he will instruct us, he will guide us, he will tell us what we need to know, and then God is just anxiously waiting on us to make that step, to step out by faith and do those things that God's telling us to do. So he's always right there saying, I'm just... Listen, I've told you what I want you to do. I've given the word. I've given the command. I'm anxious for you to step out and do what it is that I'm telling you to do. So where is God? God is speaking. God is speaking. He's telling us what we need to know, when we need to know it. And we got to trust that. We got to have confidence in that God is so much bigger than us, and God knows exactly what needs to be done, that we got to learn to just trust him in that silence and know he is where he needs to be. Not for one minute think that God's not concerned about your adversity. Or you're not caring what you're going through. He is concerned about it, and he cares about it. So God is there. And I love this. In Luke chapter number 13, we're not going to take time to turn over there and read it. But Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, talk about a man working with a fig tree. The owner of the fig tree came to this dresser and he said, I want you just to cut that tree down because that tree is useless. It's not producing fruit. So I want you to cut it down and throw it in the fire and burn it. And he said, if you'll give me one more year to manicure this tree. He said, I want to get in there and I want to prune it. I want to put some new fertilizer in there. I want to shake up the ground that's in there and put some new stuff in. I want to get that plant where it needs to be. I'm going to do everything I can to see that it produces good fruit. Give me 1 year, and if it doesn't produce fruit in that 1 year, then you can take it and cut it down and burn it. And I thought, that, my friends, is where God is at in silence many times. Maybe we can't see Him. Maybe we can't emotionally feel Him. But be assured that God is at work in our situation. I mean, if you're a fig tree and somebody comes along and starts snipping off some branches, how's that going to feel? What are you doing? I'm not going to like what's going on. Somebody comes and starts shaking about my feet and rustling around with me and shaking what I believe to be my foundation and putting in something else around there, putting in some new fertilizer around there. What are you doing? When we think sometimes chaos is at work, it is sometimes God, even though we may not know it's Him or sense it's Him, working so closely with it. That dresser, to me, is the presence of the Spirit of God working in our lives. He may be silent to us, we may not hear Him, but God is closer than we could ever believe in our situation, especially when we are in adversity. God is there, and He is working, and He's doing exactly what God needs to do. And this last part right here. Well, we sort of briefly went over some things about God's silence. We've talked a little bit about why God's silent. We've talked about where God perhaps is during the silence. So then the next million-dollar question is, so what do we do? What do we do in the silence? What do you do in the silence? What do I do in the times that God seems silent to me? We're supposed to follow the last commandment God gave us until He speaks again. I mean, I don't know how much plainer we need to make it. It's simply, that's it. You obey what you've been told to do until further instructions come. Johnny, my nephew, little nephew, graduated from that boot camp over there. We got to watch him online, you know, on that thing there on the internet. Watch the graduation. Those guys, you know, I don't know how many hundreds there were all graduating together, and they were doing the cadence, and they were all marching in step together. Isn't it just an amazing sight to watch these guys in action? It's just phenomenal how they do. And you know, it's when the drill sergeant, whatever, has them to stop, you know, and stand still, and they've got their hands. They literally will stand there until somebody tells them to do something else. I mean, if it comes a storm and they're outside, well, it's storming. I still got to stand out here like this. You go back to the last commandment that was given you. You go back to the last moment somebody told you what to do until God comes along and tells you something else you need to do. You see, our problem is in the silence of God. God's told us many times what we need to do. And as we start doing it, and we've got a whole group of people beside us, but we're all in together. It's going great. The first obstacle we face, and about 50 of them fall off to the side, we start looking around. And when we get down to it, the book of Haggai talks about rebuilding the altar and rebuilding the temple of God. They rebuilt the altar and started making sacrifices, but yet when it was time to rebuild the temple, they ran into a problem on getting material. Oh, goodness, if we're going to build this temple, did God tell you to build the temple? Yes, God told you to build the temple. But God didn't tell us that we're going to have to go up in the woods and cut our own trees. We can't go down to Lowe's and just buy the lumber. We're going to have to work for it. We have to work to do what God's told us He wants us to do. We're not going to do that. So we're just going to keep making sacrifices because the altar's built and just hope sometime God changes His mind or miraculously just makes lumber appear out in a front yard and we'll go build the temple. You see, that's the problem we have in the silence of God. God's told us what we need to do, and sometimes we get to a point where we say, I want a new commandment or a different commandment. I don't like the commandment I've got, when God is telling us, hey, here's what I'm telling you to do in the midst of my silence, or what you think is my silence. Do what I've told you to do until I tell you something else that you need to do, until I follow up with new commands or give you something else. And listen, my friends, look, this big book right here, it's filled with things we already know to do. You know something? God, even through His Holy Spirit living inside of believers, never has to speak another word to us until we get to heaven. We've got enough to do. He told us to evangelize the world. He didn't even have to tell us to do anything more than that. Isn't that a job? Listen, we know plenty of things for God to do. Folks will come to me and they'll say, preacher, I want to know what God's plan is for me. God's just silent. He's not speaking. What they're asking me is, I want to be a part of something big, and I want God to lay something big and exciting on me. God's already telling us, here's what we need to do, folks. We need to be faithful. What we need to be, consistently faithful every day in what God has already told us to do. Let's get ready for invitation song. Is God seemingly silent in your life today? Does it seem as though you're struggling? I mean, it's hard. You're wondering, how in the world am I going to get through this? Well, maybe we need to go through a little checkup on some of those issues that may cause God's silence. Try to understand where God is and God's perspective on this. And if we've satisfied all those things, what do we need to do? Here's what we need to do. We need to just trust God the best we can in the midst of this silence. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you say, well, listen, I don't know this whole adversity thing you're talking about. I don't know about struggling with the Spirit of God because you've not been saved. Then listen, I know this message has been geared more towards somebody who is a believer in Jesus Christ. But my friend, you have the greatest concern of all. If you're not saved today, you need to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, because adversity is coming. We're going to have hard days. We're going to have difficult days. And we know that the enemy hates us. But the good news is this: greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I have Jesus in my heart and in my life, and He is the victory in every adversity that I will face. If you don't know Jesus, you come today to this altar, and you get saved, and you trust in Him. He is the only way unto salvation.
Again, we thank you for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, please visit rcbc.us, and may God bless you.